like to talk a little bit about another issue that you're both involved with, and that's wages for housework. What does that mean?
Well, it means for us immediately that whole sets of women from different situations, for example, prostitute women, for example, lesbian women, for example, black women, are fighting from their own position to get the money to refuse the work that they don't want to do, that none of us wants to do. And what the campaign has been doing has been precisely to show what all women have in common and how whatever our situation is and however different it looks from the situation of other women, that we're all stuck with an identity, which is housework, and a situation, which is poverty on the whole, that we're expected to have less and we're expected to do more. And that's been a very big uniting force, not only within different countries, but between different countries. And my trip here is a kind of proof of that, because I can speak about my experiences in Britain and in the West Indies, and an American audience knows exactly what I'm talking about, because it's just about the same. There is a rebellion going on, a wide movement for wages, for housework, of women of different ages, different nationalities, and different races.
So I'm a little confused. Are you talking about wages for housework so that a woman doesn't have to take a job that doesn't pay well?
One, yes, and that a woman can begin to refuse that housework inside of the home, which is the way that we've always used the second wage. I mean, when I was married to a factory worker and I went out to work, the money that I earned going out to work was put into making my housework easier. It was put into having dinner out once a week so that there was one day a week that I didn't have to cook. It was put into getting a good washing machine. It was put into making my housework less, so that there isn't so much of a difference between women who work outside the home and women who are full-time housewives, and whether that job outside the home is on an assembly line or is as a call girl or as a streetwalker. It doesn't make any difference. We don't lose the identity of housework, and we don't lose the need for the money that we're entitled to by right.
Who do you think should get money, and how much money are you talking about?
We're saying that every woman should get money, because every woman does housework. Every woman does that job, not only of sweeping and cleaning, but of taking care of people, of seeing after others, and not only in relation to a man, and not only in relation to children, but in relation to each other. If we're single women, in relation to ourselves, putting ourselves together after a day's work outside the home in order to get ready for that next day's work. And in relation to our parents, in relation to our relations, it's very rare, for example, that a sick relative is going to be seen after by a son. It's much more likely that it'll be by a daughter. So we're saying everybody should get that money. And in relation to who should pay, we're very concerned. Again, we would like to look again at the head of General Motors, look again at the windfall oil profits, and look again at the money they say they don't have, and tell the government, get that money for us. We don't want other people's taxes to go up. That's not going to do us any good at all. We want the government to get that money from the profits that we as women have helped to make, not only by the low wages that they've given us when we've gone out, but by the work that we've done making the entire workforce of the world. Every time I say that, I feel terribly exhausted, because it's been such an enormous job and so many millions of women have been involved in it almost from birth.
Wouldn't it be a lot simpler and more realistic to aim towards the division of housework, so that in a family situation where there's a man and woman living together, where the house responsibilities are split?
Well, what is already happening is that women have been fighting for the dividing up of the housework, and we've been able to force men or demand that men really take on some of that work increasingly.
And a lot of men have.
And a lot of men have, to the point where some men want to call themselves house husbands and, you know, prefer to stay home and let the wife go out to the second job. But that doesn't solve the problem. The housework doesn't disappear. There's also the situation of those women who choose not to be with men and who are, as lesbian women, for example, living with other women. And again, having the low wages that women get outside the home, having to come home and also fight it out, just as a heterosexual couple would, about the division of the housework.
What about a gay male couple, though? If one person was staying home, wouldn't they be in the same situation?
But the point is that, I mean, I think the key thing about housework is that we really don't want to have to pick up the pieces of people who are destroyed at jobs outside the home. When you look at, the housework, I think, is much more than a question of the dusting and the washing of the dishes and the cleaning of the toilets. I think much more profoundly, the housework is the emotional work of trying to piece together and people and give emotional support and really deal with all the blows that everyone gets outside the home in job situations which are clearly exploitative. You come home and you're finished. You're wiped out. Most people are not in jobs. Most people are not in jobs that are at all satisfying. Few people have the luxury, you know, of a job that you can really call fulfilling. And it's a daily grind. And housework is really picking up the pieces of that kind of daily grind. And it's women who've been, you know, picking up those pieces. So that when you talk about wife battering, about rape in marriage and so on, you are talking about emotional and sexual housework that women have to do to really, of really taking the blows that men dish out in the home as a result of the frustrations that they suffer outside the home. So that you can't really talk about getting out. It's not a question of dividing up the poverty in the home or dividing or somehow sharing out the misery. It's a question of really giving us the economic independence, us getting the economic independence to be able to refuse to be the kinds of slaves that we're forced to be, whether it's as women in the home doing that kind of emotional and physical housework or the kind of slavery that we face outside the home where we're not getting paid properly for the work that we do and where we really don't have the choices to do work that is genuinely fulfilling.
How would this work? How would the wages work if you were able to lay out your own system?
Well, we're not trying to lay out our own system. What we're doing is moving with a movement, which means that we begin with where women are making a fight and where we want some money from that fight. In the United States, for example, the most tangible wage for housework that women have got is welfare. It's not much. It's very low. We're fighting for it to be to be raised, but we're also fighting for it to be called a wage because that's precisely what it is. And that welfare money is not incidental to other women who are not on welfare because it's really every woman's insurance policy against complete dependence and starvation. I was recently at the family conference in New York State, which I understand you're going to have here soon in Pennsylvania in a few days' time. And one of the women in my workshop, a black woman, got up, we each of us had to speak and say why we were there, got up and said, I'm the wife of a doctor, or at least I have been. I worked for 20 years in his home. He's left me now, and now I have nothing, in spite of the fact that I worked as hard as he did in all the years that we were married. So what is this woman to do? She goes on welfare. She has no choice. And we're saying she worked, she's entitled to money, and welfare is the way that she's claiming her wage, and she has to fight pretty hard in order to get it. But there are other ways in which women have been fighting for wages for housework. In Britain, for example, every woman who is a mother is entitled to a family allowance for each child. Now, that's not means-tested. That is, they don't ask you if you have a job outside the home, if your daddy has money, you know, if you have a rich uncle, if you're married or not married. They ask you nothing. You are the mother of a child, and therefore you are entitled to $11 a week per child until that child leaves school. Now, that's not a regal sum. We have royalty, but family allowance is not royal. But the fact is that this is what women have fought for, this is what we have won, and the question is to take every amount of money that we have won, make it be called a wage, and use it as a lever to get more and to be extended. The same thing is true about the Wages for Housework campaign in this country, which has been fighting for Social Security wage for housework. If a woman's husband retires, that doesn't mean she stops needing to eat. And she's been working all these years and she doesn't have any money in her own name, in her own right. And that's absolutely intolerable. That's just another form of slavery which is still to be abolished. So that we start with that. In terms of how the money can be paid, it's quite simple. Really, to me, absolutely simple. The family allowance in Britain is paid at the post office. You go, as you buy stamps, you collect your money. And that's a very simple way for women to collect our wage.
Where does the money come from?
The money at the moment comes from the British government, which is always fighting about trying to get it from the men. And we're always saying that's not going to help us. It just means what you're doing when you try to take the family allowance money from men is inviting violence in the home. You are inviting a family row about whose money it is. And the men who have the most power are going to have the most brutality. So please, you fight about it in your place and don't bring your fight to my house. Give me my money and give him his, so we'll have some peace in this family. You know, they talk so much rubbish about the family all the time. They think that a family is built on love and money doesn't make any difference. And my mother taught me something quite different, that when bills come in the door, love flies out the window. That's how I was raised.
I really wish we had some more time to talk, but we don't. We're out of time. I want to thank you both very much for coming this afternoon and for sharing your point of view with us. I've had two guests, Selma James, who was just speaking, and Wilmette Brown. They are both involved with many issues. The two that we've been talking about are wages for housework and the decriminalization of prostitution, and they're also very involved with wanting women within the sex industries to organize and not become victims within prostitution or within pornographic films. Selma James and Wilmette Brown are going to be speaking this evening in Rutgers Camden campus, and it's on the second floor of the student lounge of the Rutgers Law School on 5th and Penn Streets. Here's a couple of phone numbers you can call for any more information about this talk tonight: 727-1233 or 726-7926. Again, that's 727-1233 or 726-7926. Selma James is the founder of the International Wages for Housework campaign, and she's the spokesperson for the English Collective of Prostitutes. She introduced a bill for the protection of prostitutes into the British Parliament. Wilmette Brown is the co-founder of Black Women for Wages for Housework, and her group is based in New York.